We're on Daf Samach Dalid, and the Gemara on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis spoke about a situation in which you have a need for a Shituf Muvos, and the members of the Mavui gathered together, and they were all mevatel their reshus to one person, one member of the Mavui. And the Gemara says, in that case, it's a milsud lo shricha and lo gozru be rabbanon, meaning that the gzera the rabbanon, that if there's a nachri who lives in that Mavui, then he generates an iser on the entire Mavui, prohibiting the Bnei HaMavui from carrying out to the Mavui. That gzera doesn't apply in this strange case, this unusual case, where they were mevatel it. So the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis records that Ozel Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Amr L'Shmaita Kami D'Rava, when this sugya became presented to Rava, so Rava had a certain reaction, and Amar Le, and now we're on the top of Daf Samach Dalid Amud Aleph. Im Kein Bitalta Toras Eruv Me Oso Mavui. It means that in a case where there's a guy who lives in that chatza with other Jewish families that are residents, co-residents in that chatzer, and the chatzer, let's say, spills into a mavui, you don't need shituf muvos. You've really obviated the entire need for the enterprise of shituf muvos, because all you need in such a case is to have the Jewish people who reside in that chatzer to be mevatel their chatzer, their rights to the chatzer, to one of the Jews. And if that be the case, then who's going to remember the enterprise of Shituf Muvos? You always have this option to circumvent Shituf Muvos. And when Rava raised this question, Rav Huna responded, and he said, Dima Arve, if you're really worried about the fact that people forget the entire enterprise of Shituf Muvos, it's going to go down into oblivion, because you always have this way of circumventing the halacha by doing this bittul reshus, then why not just require a Shituf Muvos in addition to the bittul? So the bittul will take care of the problem of the guy living there, and the Shituf will just be an external kind of action that has no meaning to it. It's not really valid in and of itself, but it'll remind us. It's like a flag reminding us of the institution of Shituf Muvos, and that's something that we can pass on to generations to come. So Rava says, no, that's not good. That's not a good recommendation. Why? Yomru Eruv Moel B'Makom Nachri. People don't realize that you were Mavatel the Rishus, you went through that channel. They think that what was effective here was the Shituf Muvos, and in fact that's not so, because since there's a guy living in that chutz, Shituf Muvos is not effective. So you're basically misleading people, and they will come to the wrong conclusion. So the Gemara says, well, demachrizon, why not just make an announcement? You know, we'll get on the foghorn, we'll make a public announcement to the fact, we'll put it on social media, that you should know that this Erev is not a meaningful Erev. It has no efficacy in and of itself. And the only reason that we're allowed to carry into this Mavu is because of the Bittul Rishus. So the Gemara answers, That would not satisfy Rava's question, because achrazta lidardiki, are you going to make achraza that's going to be passed on for generations to come? Dardiki meaning the children? the children are not going to be aware of this hachrozah. They're going to think once again that the Erev is meaningful, even though there's a Nochri who shares the residence in that chotzer. So therefore, this Eitzah, this recommendation, that even after the Bittul of the Bnei Amovri to the Rishus, of their Rishus towards one, vis-a-vis one individual, member of the chotzer, and add to boot a Shituf Muvos, so that they don't forget the whole Torah of Shituf Muvos, and then we're going to make a public hachroza that don't rely on the Shituf Muvos, because it cannot be effective when there is a guy living in that Rishus. That's not going to be passed on to generations to come. So ultimately, the generations to come will not be aware of the fact that this Mavui, that this Shituf Muvos is ineffective. Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, I have another recommendation. And that is Lezel Chad Minayu. Now this Gemara that we're about to learn is a little bit new. It's really breaking new ground for us. V'lishol minayu duchta v'lenech be midi. Let one of the Jewish people get sort of chummy with the guy who lives in that chotzer, and he'll borrow space in the chotzer. And what he'll do is he'll place some of his utensils there in the chotzer. And how does that obviate the problem of the guy being one of the residents in that chotzer? That through this process of borrowing rights or borrowing space in the chotzer, the Jew now becomes schiro lekito. Now, schiro is hired work for a full year. Lekito is someone who works only during the harvest season. For a few months, he's hired. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, afilu schiro v'afilu lekito, no sein eruvo v'dayo. We have a ruling that's attributed to Shmuel that if a guy lives in a chotzer and shares it with other Jewish resident, with Jewish residents, then if the guy hires Jewish help, Jewish workers, whether it be a worker who works for a full year or a worker who works just for seasons, that Jew can now replace the guy in terms of the participation in the Eruv. We no longer need the guy to participate in the Eruv. It's almost as if this Sochir or Lakito, this Schiro Lakito, takes over the Chotzer, and he's like living there in the Chotzer of the guy. And now he can replace the guy, participate and contribute in the Eruv, and allow for carrying from the Batim into the Chatzeros, or from the Chatzeros into the Mavum. And we don't need to get the Nochri to agree to a rental agreement. And now the Gemara is equating the case of a Shoel, meaning if, as we said before, one of the Jews in that chotzer will get very close to the guy, you know, they'll have a friendship, an amicable relationship, and he'll ask if he can put his kelim down in the chotzer, and that already gives him almost the status like schiro lekito. And that would circumvent the entire problem, the entire requirement of getting the guy out of there, so to speak. In other words, the guy is like a thorn in our sides because he undermines the possibility of an Eruv, unless he, the guy, would agree to Schirus. He's not agreeing to Schirus, but this is a way of, in a sense, cutting out the guy. And Socher and Lakid are considered like the Balabayas. And therefore, the Sakhir and the Lakit, they will be the ones to participate into the Eruv. And that's sufficient. So that even though the Rishus of the Nachri is Lo Betela, but nevertheless, it's Ke'ilu Silku Misham. It's as if they removed the guy from his Chatzer. And that's a great Kula. And that's going to lead us to the next piece of Gemara, because the Gemara wants to know, well, maybe this is also a Chumrah. Why? Amale Abayler of Yosef, Hoyisham Chamisha Schiro V'Chamisha Likito, Mahu. What happens if in this house of the guy, he has a lot of hired help, he's got five Schiros, and he's got five Jews, in addition to the five Jewish Schiros, he's got five Jewish Likitos, and each one gets a room to stay in, or maybe he's up in the attic of the house of the Nachri. Mao, now do we need that each one of these Jewish hired help should be mishtatef in the Eruv? In other words, let's use this not only a kula to replace the need for the guy to be removed, but also to put these Jews into the house of the guy in such a way that each one of these Jews now, he has his own little living quarters in the house of the Nachri, and he has to participate in the Eruv. And if one of those 10 hired help refuses or forgets to participate in the Eruv, the whole enterprise of the Eruv is completely torpedoed and invalidated. And this is based on a Mishnah later on Daf Ayin Beis, where the Mishnah addresses a case of five different groups of Jewish people that lived in one house. Each one of these groups lives in its own room or in the attic, like we said before, and each one has to be mitzarev to the Eruv. And every one of these different groups, one person in each group could represent them, but he has to participate by contributing a pas for the purpose of the Eruv. And therefore, Abaye asks Rav Yosef, what happens in the case of Schiro Lakito? Since they have their own quarters, each one living in a different room in the house, in this mansion of the guy, maybe each one of them is absolutely critical. His participation is absolutely required in order to set up the Eruv for the Pnei HaChatzer. Amalei, so Rav Yosef responds to Abaye, im amru Schiro Lakito lehakel, yomru Schito Lakito lehachmir. We're only introducing this breakthrough halacha of Schiro Lakito as a kula to obviate the need for getting the guy, the owner of the chotzer, to agree to a rental agreement. And that's a great kula. But now to be machmir and say that the Schito Lakito now could generate an isar on all the others who live in that chotzer, so that in the absence of the ishtatfus of the Schiro Lakito, the whole enterprise of the Eruv is completely null and void. That far we're not going to go, because we have a principle in Eruvin that halachat kidiriya mekil be'eruv. We're not going to take a kula and convert it into a chumra. Therefore, the bottom line of Rav Yosef is that we don't need that all of these hired help, each one without exception, contribute to the Eruv. And that's not necessary. Now, Tosis later on is going to add a little bit of explanation. He's going to say that even though each one of these hired workers eats and sleeps in his own quarters, but nevertheless, they're all using the house of the guy as one entity, so to speak. And therefore, their dira is considered one dira. We don't divide it up into many individual diros, as if there's resonance here, and each dira could generate an isur on the other Balei HaChatzer. Now, the Gemara is going to go back to Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel and quote Rav Nachman. And this Gemara that we're about to learn is an overlap of what I call Hilchus Anagadata. Both elements. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Afilu Schira Afilu Kito Nosein Eruvo Vidayo. That if there's higher Jewish help in the by the Nochri, in the house of the Nochri, then this higher Jewish help can substitute and replace the Nochri and contribute to the Eruv, and that's going to be sufficient for the Eruv. And attached to this ruling of Shmuel, Omer Rav Nachman Kamamalia Haishmait. What a beautiful, literally, Malia means it's full of pluses, of surpluses, of elevations. I love this halacha. Now, in another case, regarding a different halacha, again in the tradition of Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, Rav Nachman is again going to add a comment, but this time not so complimentary. Shosa Revius Yayin Al Yore, that if a Chacham would drink a Revius of a lug of Yayin, then he's already considered a little bit intoxicated and he should not give a ruling Orah Lamaisa to any practical question that comes along. He's a little bit Tarud and he doesn't have clarity of thought. Omer Rav Nachman, when he heard this statement in the name of Shmuel, lo ma'al yahashmaitha. This one I give a bad grade to, thumbs down. Do I know, I can testify about myself, that kol kama de lo shesina revi'asa de chamra lo tzila datai. Until I drink a revi'as of yayin, my mind is not clear. The wine has the exact opposite effect. It gives clarity to my thought. So not only is it wrong, it's incorrect to say that the yayin is toreid es hadas, but on the contrary, it even gives me a certain extra clarity that I wouldn't have. So this would be a very interesting research project if we had the time to go through Google and see what the biologists say about a revius yayin, you know, whether it dullens the mind or sharpens the mind. But in any event, now we're going to get on to the agadic part of this Gemara. Amalei Rava, Rava says to Rav Nachman as a critique, this is not the way you talk about different statements of halacha of the previous generation. My taima omar mar hachi, why do you express yourself in that way? You know, saying this halacha is a beautiful halacha, this one's not so beautiful. Ha omar Rav Acha bar Chanina maidech siv. What's the implication of the pasuk in Mishlei? Veroes zonos ya'abed hon, which it says in that same pasuk, ish oev chachma yismach aviv, veroes zonos ya'abed hon. The simple pshat is that someone who loves wisdom will bring joy to his father. But someone who connects to zonos, then he's like eating up, he's consuming all of the funds of his father because he has to pay these zonos. He has to give them what's called an esnan zona. And also he causes a lot of pain to his father because he's living this immoral life. But Rav Acha is going to take it in a totally different way. Al Pidrush. And he's going to say that the word zonos here is notrikun if you take the zayin and the nun of zonos for zuna. And he says that kol haomer shmuel zu na, zu eino na, ma'abed es hona shel Torah. Hona is the covet of Torah. You know, we don't give grades. You know, we are you such a big shot that you know which halacha is great and which is not so great? That kind of attitude would lead a person to be lacking his emuna. A person should be makabel divrei Torah by emuna. Again, he should try to analyze them and dissect them with his mind, but at the end of the day, he should accept the halacha as tov bi'enov, as it's good in his eyes. Now, when Rava is arguing against Rav Nachman, it's because he shouldn't have used that language. You know, this is not, this is not not. You know, he sits back aloof and gives grades to different halachas. That's not the right attitude. But in truth, Rava is not critiquing he's not critiquing Rav Nachman for Rav Nachman's halachic position that, on the contrary, for me, I have to drink a Revius Yayin in order to paskin halacha. But it's just that the attitude and the expressions that Rav Nachman was using, Rava complained again. And Omalei Hadribi. So Rav Nachman says, I'm going to stop. You know, you put me in my place. I'll never use this language of Zuna Vizushmua Einana. But once again, it doesn't mean that Rav Nachman backtracked from his position as far as the drinking of wine before a hora is concerned. Now, once we mentioned Shmuel with regard to the Iser hora for a person who drinks wine, the Gemara wants to know, what's the law of tefillah for someone who drinks wine? Omar Rabba Barafuna Shasui, if he's drunk, Al Yispala. Vimispala el tefiloso tefillah, however, b'dieved, his tefillah is valid, and he doesn't have to daven a second time. But Shikar, if he's, let's call it, fully drunk, then Al Yispala. Now, keep in mind that the word Shikar here is relative. In other words, he's relative to a shasui, he's shikar. He's not an absolute shikar, which is called shikruso shalot. A person who's shikruso shalot is potter from all the mitzvahs. He has a status of a shota. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who's in between shasui and shikar kalot. And he shouldn't daven. And the Gemara Masechta Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph derives this from a pasuk by Chana. It says, Vayachsheveh Eli Lishikora. And Eli accused her of being drunk, and therefore he said, "What? Why are you praying?" In other words, there's no heter, there's no allowance for someone who's drunk to pray to God. If he's drunk, then his tefillah is an abomination, and of course he'd have to daven again after he sobers up. So the Gemara says, Hechi domi shasui vehechi domi shikor. Ki hod Rabbi Abba bar Shumni bar v'Rav Menashe bar Yirmiyah migifti havikol miftere me'adodi me'abara denara yofti. So these chacham were taking leave from their other colleagues, and Amru, they said one to the other, kol chad minan lema milsalo shmi lechavre. Each one should share some sort of halacha with his friend that his friend never heard. The Yomar Mori bar Rav Huna leipoter adam michaver el mitoch dvar halacha. Yeah. And a person should not take leave of his friend without sharing a dvar halacha. Shemitoch kach zochro. That's how he's going to remember his friend, because of the halacha that they shared one with the other before they took leave, and separate, each one going in his own way. There are others who want to say that mitokach zochreu means he'll remember that halacha. So pasachad v'omar. So one of them began with the following statement, which is going to relate to Rav Bar Rav Huna's statement about a shasui. Hechi domi shasui vehechi domi shikar. Shasui koshi yochol adaber l'fnei ha-melech. The Gemara seems to give a relative as opposed to an objective or absolute standard. And we're talking about an individual who, despite the fact that he drank, he nevertheless can stand with a sense of awe, what we call COVID rush, in front of a king. And tefillah is considered omei b'fnei ha-melech. And his wine, his intoxicating beverage, is not going to disturb him, and his tefillah is therefore a tefillah. But shikar is kol sheni yochel adav fnei ha-melech. His intoxication level is such that it disturbs him, and it removes an attitude of COVID rush, and therefore he cannot stand in front of a king and speak to the king in the way that he should be able to speak to the king, and how much more so in the case of the Melech Malchi Amlochim, and therefore his tefillah is toeva. Pasach Idach, another member of this group, this clan of Talmidei Chacham, opened up his mouth with the following halacha: Amachzik b'nichsei ager. Now, what happens here is we're talking about hefker, which means that the ger died without any yorshim, and the halacha here is kol hakodem zachu, whoever is lucky to be there at the time of the death of this ger, he can make an acquisition and possess all those properties that belong to the ger. Now, according to Chazal, when you come into money without having to actually work for that money, you aren't toreach to earn that money. You just got lucky. You won the lottery ticket. Here, he's like winning a lottery. He takes over the Nichsei Ager because he got there first. Then in such a case, there's Ayin Hara. Now again, what Ayin Hara is, I don't know. I just can tell you that I was brought up in a family where, we always heard the word Ayin Hara. You know, this Kegin Ayin Hara and so forth. So that back in Europe, that's the way the Ashkenazic Jews at least used to speak about it. And I would say that Ayin Hara is something to do with jealousy. And if you worked for a living, you know, you went to medical school for 13 years, you know, till you specialized and college and graduate school and so forth, then okay, I forgive you. So, you know, you're making $250,000 a year. But if, you know, you win the lottery, people are sort of jealous. You know, you didn't earn this, you didn't deserve it. So what should such a person do when he comes into money and he's afraid of an Ayin Hara? So my father-in-law, Mary Stapis, had something called a Reuter Bendel. You know, you wore red. But the Gemara has a different method. Ma yasev yiskaimu biyodo yikach bem sefer Torah. He should designate a certain amount of his funds that he came into for buying a sefer Torah. So this is a big deal that you have a sefer Torah written. Well, a Sefer Torah is quite expensive. Well, Rav Sheshes offers a little bit less of a bombastic suggestion. Another alternative is Afilu. Here we're turning to Samat Alan Beis. Baal Benichsei. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of myself. The Gemara now is going to give a whole list of cases, situations in which you came into money without earning them. Baal Benichsei Yishto. You know, you married a woman who has funds, and there's what's called Nichsei Malug. Nichsei Malug means that the field, for example, that she brought into the marriage that produces grains and fruits and so forth, he, the Baal, who married her through the Ksuba, he gains possession over all those fruits and grains. In other words, he reaps the harvest, and again, he doesn't do much work. He didn't earn, he didn't, you know, skimp and save since he was a child, working here, working there, you know, driving, you know, delivering newspapers or cleaning floors, sponging in order to be able to purchase a plantation, a piece of land. He inherited it from his wife. But once again, there's going to be an Ayin Hara. Rav Amar Filu Avad Iska V'Ravach Ba. In other words, he took some funds and he invested it. This is what I call stock market. But what do you do in order to make money on the stock market? I'm going to use a secular term. You get lucky, that's all. It's really just a Russian roulette. It's gambling. Can anyone tell you for sure that the stock is going to go up or go down? Nobody knows. Again, you did some intelligent research and you took counsel from different experts in the stock market. But so again, there's going to be an Ayin Hara situation. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Motza Metzia. A person wins a lottery, he finds a lost object. He walks down the street and he finds a diamond ring. And that's going to create Ayin Hara. Amar Rav Nachbar Yitzchak Afilu Kasav B'Tefillin. He doesn't have to spend so much money to buy a Sefer Torah. That's a very expensive proposition. If he wants to neutralize the Ayin Hara, then buy a pair of tefillin. She'ein d'meyam yikorim kisifrei Torah, says the Meiri. V'gam ein b'ksivosom to'elis l'tzibrolis kisifrei Torah, el lo bilvad. It's not as bombastic as buying a Sefer Torah, which is going to be used by the entire tzibur, that's a great contribution. But nevertheless, even this humble contribution of buying a pair of tefillin, maybe Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, that itself is enough to protect you from a yet, from the ayin hara. What's the source in the Tanakh for this idea that if you want to protect your possessions and you want to succeed, then you should give it for a mitzvah? And this is in the parasha of Milchemes Yisrael in with the Knani. He was Melech Arad. It says that when the Jewish soldiers went out to battle, Vayidar Yisrael Nedel Hashem, they took a vow. I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, Vayomar Im Nason Titenes Ha'om Azeh Biyodi Vachramtem Vichramti Es Arehem. In other words, they accepted upon themselves that if they'll be victorious in battle, then the booty there will be Magdishit for Gavor, for Shemayim. And in that schus, God accepted that tefilos, and Melech Arad fell in their hands. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael v'yiten es haknani. So you see that this idea of pledging your successful acquisitions is a very good plan to protect your acquisitions. Omar Rami Bar Chama. Now we're getting back to the question of Shasui and Shikar. At what point can a person who is intoxicated sober up halachically and he's allowed to daven? So he says, Derech Meal. He should take a walk for a meal. A meal is approximately 1,000 metrim. I mean, they're different shitos, but I would say it's about a 20-minute walk. I'm just guessing, maybe a little less. And after walking for 20 minutes, he sobers up. And he can daven, mishena, kolshu. And if he sleeps, even a cat nap, even a very short power nap, that's enough. Because mefigim es hayayin. That's enough to neutralize the intoxication from the wine. Later on, the Gemara is going to question this. But now, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Bar Avua, Lo Shanu Elish Shasa Kedei Revius, Aval Shasa Yosef Kedei Mi Revius, is Kolshkein Shederch Tordoso V'Sheinu Shakroso. Now, it's if he's only slightly intoxicated, because all he drank was a Revius, then walking is going to be Mefig. It's going to neutralize that intoxication power. But if he drank a very serious volume of wine, then on the contrary, walking is going to just get him more confused because he's in such a state of tirdo to make sure that he doesn't trip and he doesn't fall, his mind becomes even more confused. And Shena, even if he sleeps after it, he intensifies his intoxication state. And at this point, the Gemara is going to go back to this shir of Halicha of Meal, which we said before, in the name of Rami Bar Chama, is enough to be Mefig, and the Gemara is going to question that premise. Says the Gemara, V'derech Meal Mefigas Hayayin, is it really true? V'atanya, we have a Brisa Maisa, Rami Gamliel, Shai Rochev Al HaChamor, Now, there are two parts to this story. The first part is the trip on the way to Kziv. But when they get to Kziv, then there's a second part of the story. That's actually the second part of the story that's most relevant to us. But we'll go through the story from head to toe. So now, Rabbi Gamliel is riding a donkey, and he's traveling from Akko to Kziv. Okay, these are on the east, the south, the north,
eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. Akko is actually on the most northeastern point in the land of Israel, as the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin. And then there's another strip of land, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, that goes north, and that's where Kziv is. V'haya Rebbe Eloi Mahalich Achra. Eloi was a Talmud of Rav Gamliel, and he was accompanying his Rebbe, Rav Gamliel. Matza Gluskin Baderech. They found beautiful loaves of bread that were left there on the road. Amalo, so Rav Gamliel turns to his Talmud, Rav Eloi, and he says, Eloi, tol gluskim in aderech. This is going to be the principle that the Gemara is going to clarify here. Ein ovrim al ha'ochlin. In other words, we don't leave food lying on the floor. But now, what are they going to do with the bread? They picked up the bread. Can they eat the bread? Matzah nachri echad. They encountered a guy. Amalo, so Rav Gamliel says to the nachri, Mavge. He calls him by his first name. Tol Gluskin Alolu Mi Loi. Take these rolls of bread, these loaves of bread, for yourself. And Nitpal Lo Ravi Loi. And Ravi Loi sort of, when he gave the loaves over to this fellow by the name of Mivgai, he sort of whispered in his ear. And he says to him, Amalo Mehechanato, where are you from? Amalo, the Nochri says, Me'ayoros shel Burginu. Those were the towns where the Shomrim, who were in charge of security, had their sukkos, their booths. And there was no chance that Rav Gamliel had ever encountered this guy. Umashmecha, what's your name? Mavgai Shemini. My name is Mavgai. So Rav Eloi asks him, Klumi kircha Rav Gamliel me'olam amalolav. We never met. Biosa shah, lomadnu shekivein Rav Gamliel baruach hakodesh. Then Rav Gamliel had Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew that this guy's name was Mavgloi. A very odd kind of a name. And he never had met him in his whole life. Now, why Rav Gamliel had to reveal Gili Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. In any event, the Braisa now takes a little bit of a digression before we get to the second part of the story of Rav Gamliel's travels. It's like, you know, Lahavdil Golovis travels, this is Rav Gamliel's travels. But right now the Gemara takes a pause to analyze what halachic conclusions can we summarize from the first part of the story, the trip to Chziv. Shlosh Advarim Labadu B'Yel Sashon, number one, from the fact that Rav Gamliel instructed Rabbi Eloi to lift up the gluska, not to leave them lying on the ground. Labadu She'ein Mavirin Al-Ochlin. That you don't pass by Oakland, but rather you have a responsibility and obligation to lift them up because of Beasley Oakland. Number two, from the fact that he instructs Rav Eloi to give these gluskos to the Nachri, you know, he wasn't allowing that we should eat the gluskin, Lamadnu, Sholchem Acharov Ovei Drachim, that if most of the people on the roads our goyim, we assume that one of the goyim from the Rove dropped these breads, and they're not kosher. So it's pasakul. And finally, number three, from the fact that Rav Gamliel instructed Rav Eloi to give the pas to a nachri, is lamadu shechemtzel shel nachri achar pesach muter behana. Okay, now, to understand this third derivation, we have to mention a machlokas Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Chav Ches with regards to Chomet Shavala Pesach. Rabbi Yudin's Chomet Shavala Pesach is an Isur Torah, which is also both Be'achila and Be'anoah. And the Gemara establishes in Pesachim that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chomet Shavala Pesach, which is also in a Torah, is Osir Bein Bechemtza Shal Yisrael, Bein Bechemtza Shal Nachri. And therefore be Osir Be'anoah. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And Rabbi Gamliel here is adopting the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who dissents, and he holds that the entire enterprise of Chametz Shalav and Pesach is only a rabbinic Isur, and the Chacham only prohibited it in the case of a Chametz Shal Yisrael, because they wanted to discourage owning Chametz for Pesach. So they said that if you own Chametz for Pesach, that Chametz after Pesach is Asur. And now, we just assume that this Chametz that we found, these Gluskin, are Pas Akum, and they should be Asur Panoah if they pass through Pesach. Apparently the time period that they were on this trick was near Pesach, or right after Pesach. But it seems that Rabbi Gamliel accepted the Shita that Chametz Shavuot and Pesach is Mutar Banoah, if it was owned by a guy. And therefore he's allowed to give a gift to a guy. Normally, if something's also about no, like Chametz, you don't give it as a gift to a guy. I mean, Erev Pesach, you can give it as a gift to a guy, but not on Pesach itself, or not after Pesach. Unless you hold that Chametz Shal Nochri, Liachara Pesach, is Mutar Bano, like Rav Shimon. Okay, now we're up to Roman numeral number 2. Kevan Shi Gielich Ziv, now Rav Gamliel's in Chziv, Ba Echad Lishal Al Nidra. So the great Rav Gamliel arrives in the city of Kziv, and this is an opportunity for people to take advantage of the presence of Rav Gamliel. So one Jew had a neder, and he wanted to get She'elas Nedarim. In other words, that Rav Gamliel would be Mater his neder. So after he approaches Rav Gamliel for this purpose, Amar, Rav Gamliel says, Lezeh She'imo, meaning to Rabbi Eloi, Klum Shasinu Revias Yain HaItalki. If I remember correctly, just correct me if I'm wrong, says Rav Gamliel, we drank a revius of Yain HaItalki. And if that be the case, then we have a problem if I want to be Matur Neder. You can't be Matur Neder if you're under the influence of an intoxicated beverage. I'm a lo hain. Rabbi Eloi said, yes, you're right. We recently drank that much wine. So Rav Gamliel says, Im Kain, then I can't legally give Hataras Nedarim here, because the yayin, you know, confuses the mind. And to be Matur Neder, you need a clarity of mind. It is therefore Yital Achreinu. We're going to continue deep into Kziv, and let this person follow us. Achi Yofik Yeinenu. So we'll have that road to travel on that will neutralize the impact of the intoxication. And that's what exactly happened. But listen carefully. It says, V'til achrem shlosha milin. Until now we said that it's enough to go for one meal to neutralize the intoxication. Here the requirement was 3 milin. Ad shehigia, Rav Gamliel got from Kziv to Sulma Shel Tzur. Tzur is a mountain up in the north. And this was a trip from Kziv of 3 milin. Is Kaman Shigil Asulma the Tsur, Yarad Rangamliel Minachamar, Nisatev, Vyosha Vihitilo Nidra. So the Gemara, the Brisa says the following, Harbe Dvarm Lamanu Biosa Shah. We derived 4 conclusions from this second half of the story. Number one, from the fact that Rangamliel asked Rabbi Loi, had they drunk a Revias Yaini Talki, Lamanu Shavias Yaini Talki Meshaker. That Rabbi Gamliel had to first clarify before he would be Matir Neder when they had drunk wine, because drinking wine, in this case a Revias Yain Talki, is enough to make a person intoxicated. Number two, now that Rabbi Gamliel finds out that they had indeed drunk a full Revias of Yain Talki and they got influenced, they were intoxicated, therefore he refused to be Matir the Neder, Lamadnu Sheshikar Al Yora. That once a person reaches the state of being a shikar, then he should not paskin. And it means that hataras nedarim is considered a hora. And number three, from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel said to the one who was looking for hataras nedarim that he should walk after them, lamadnu shederech mefigas hayayin. that by walking after them, meaning that they would walk, meaning he would have to walk after them because he didn't have a chamar, but that they would be traveling, the travel itself, as we said before, neutralizes the impact of the intoxicated wine. Finally, number four, from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel, when he was matir neder, he got off the donkey and he sat down, that you should not be neither riding nor walking nor standing, you should be sitting when you're matir neder. And this is a reflection of the halacha of any dayan who issues a ruling, he should do so in a sitting position. Al kim nitza badaskel. So this second half of the story in the Braisa is very relevant to four different conclusions. Right now we're going to focus on one of the various conclusions. Ketani mias shlosha milin. That Rav Gamliel would not be willing to be matir the neder until they traveled a distance of, four, of 3 milin. And that's against Rami Bar Chama, because Rami Bar Abba, excuse me, who said that it's enough that they go 1 meal. So the Gemara says, Shani Yayin Italki, Dimashakir Tfe. This was a very high powered, intoxicating wine. And it's as if they had drunk a very large volume of wine, even though they only drank one revius, but one revius of this strong, concentrated wine is equal to much more than a revius of regular wine. And therefore they needed a derech of shlosha milin. And 1 meal would not suffice. So now the Gemara objects. The Gemara says, well, if Yain Italki has such a powerful impact, and it's much more intoxicating than a similar volume of other wines, then basically we could say that they drank, according to the halacha, more than a revius. Again, they actually only drank a revius, but in the case of Yain Italki, it's equivalent to more than a revius. If that be the case, then how could you say that walking 3 milin is enough to mitigate the intoxication? V'omer Rav Nachman, v'omer Rav Baravua, lo shanu elik shasa revius, aval shasa yoser revius. If you drank more than a revius, then kolshken shederach todoso v'sheinu mishakroso. In other words, not only is it that the derech and the sheino is not enough to neutralize the shikrus, but worse than that, it even intensifies the shikrus, because he's so tarud when he's walking and so forth and so on that he doesn't have it. So therefore, how could it be that Rabbi Gamliel would suffice with halicha, in this case 3 milin? That shouldn't be enough, because halicha makes it worse instead of making it better. Instead of in neutralizing the intoxication, it intensifies the intoxication. So the Gemara answers, Rochuv Shaini. When do we say that halicha, if you drank more than a revius, intensifies the state of shikrus, which means the lack of clarity of thought? That's only when you're tarud. When are you tarud? In a case where you're mahalich. Why? Because you're constantly looking this way and that way, where you put the foot down and not to fall on this. But Rachuv, in a case where the animal is doing all the work, then that's not tirda. And the walking, or in this case I should say the riding, is not going to it's not going to undermine the ability of this travel to reduce the intoxication. And in fact, the traveling on a donkey for 3 milin will reduce the intoxication, even though he drank more than a revius, because he yayin italki. So Gemara points out now that hashda dos lahachi, now that you came to this svara that rochuv is different than mahalech, is let's go back to the original question that we asked, l'rami bar abba nami lo kasha. We asked the question, how could it be that Rami bar abba said that 1 meal is enough to neutralize the impact of the intoxicated wine, and yet Rav Gamliel required a derech of 3 milin? The answer is Rachuv Shaini, that we can differentiate between Alicha and Rechiva. And since in the case of Rachuv, the animal is doing most of the work, so he's not working and there's no real tirch on his part. Therefore, the derech is not going to be mafig his yayin until he goes for 3 milin. So 3 milin on a donkey is like 1 mil on foot. The Gemara says, eini. Now the Gemara wants to go to the other part of the brisa, that ataras nedarim requires yeshiva. It's not enough that he's on top of a donkey. Is that really so? Omar, Rav Nachman, Mefirim nedarim bein mahalach, bein omed, bein rachuv. That no matter what state you're in, whether you're walking, whether you're standing, whether you're riding, and all these matzavei aguf, you could always be mefir nedarim. So Gemara answers tanoihi, that this issue as to whether or not to be matir nedarim you require yeshiva is actually dependent on another issue, which is a dispute amongst the tanoim and mesechta nedarim. The ikal amad yomer poskim becharata, the ikal amad yomer ein poskim becharata. According to one opinion, poskim becharata means that the chacham, in order to be matir nedarim, he has to find what's called a pesach. A pesach means he has to investigate and interrogate the person who took the neder to hear him say the following words: if I would have known X, I wouldn't have taken the neder. And that requires a lot of work, a lot of thinking. You know, how to get the noder to the point in which he makes that claim and that declaration that if he only knew X, he wouldn't have taken the neder. So this is the opinion of Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel holds that in order to be matir neder, I have to find a pesach. For that, he has to take himself off the chamor, get down and sit and concentrate b'yishuv hadas. But there's another man d'yomer, which is Rav Nachman. He holds, like that Tanu who holds, ein poskim b'neder. There's no need for the chacham to be matir neder to find a pesach. The chacham can be oker in the neder without any reason whatsoever. That's the power and the authority of the Torah vested in the chacham as far as the Torah's nedarim. And therefore, if you don't need any yishuv hadas, you don't have to think, oh, how can I get him into a pesach in this case? Then he could be sitting on the chamor, and even though he can't concentrate fully, he could be matir neder. The Gemara now wants to prove that in truth, Rav Gamliel holds poskim becharata. The Yomar Rav Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan, my posach le, Rav Gamliel ahu gavra. Rav Bar Chanan, the name Rav Yochanan, reveals another part of the story that's not explicit in the brisa, and that is, what was the dialogue between Rav Gamliel and this noder? What did he say to the noder in order to establish a Pesach, that the Noder will declare, oh, if I only knew X, I wouldn't have taken the Neder? And the answer is that Rav Gamliel quoted a Pasuk in Mishlei, a very harsh Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Yesh bota bimad keros, cherev, uloshen chacham merape. So there's something called a bota. Bota is someone who takes a vow, and kimad keros means royal edoko becharev. He should be killed. He should be condemned to execution. Why? Because a person, when he takes a neder, he should realize that there's a good chance that he won't be able to fulfill his neder. And therefore, he should not be taking nedarim. And the end of the pasuk in Mishlei says, Lashon chachamim merapi. Lashon chachamim means that the chacham matir is neder. That's a marpolo. That's going to be his cure, his salvation. It's going to save him from being condemned to death. But in any event, Rav Gamliel now asks this person, did you know that a person is not allowed to take a neder? And if he takes a neder, he's chayav misa? Would you have taken the neder had you known that? And the man responded, no. And that's the Pesach. And based on this Pesach, that Rav Gamliel convinced the noder that he was unaware of a certain fact, which had he been aware of, he never would have took the neder. That was the basis for the Pesach of Charata. And again, swinging back to Rav Gamliel in the story in the Brisa, he now gets off his chamor because he had to concentrate on how he could set up a Pesach to be matir this net. Omar Mar, we derive from the Brisa before, Ein Mavirin Al Ha'ochlin. Is this an absolute halacha? Omar Rabbi Yochum Yishum Rabbi Shimagar Lo Shano El Bedoros Harishonim She'en Benos Yisrael Prutzos B'Kshofim Al Bedoros Achronim She'Benos Yisrael Prutzos B'Kshofim Avirin. This is a just from a religious historical perspective, very revolutionary Gemara. The Gemara says that it's not always a great idea to pick up a loaf of bread that's lying in the street, because you never know what kind of whammies, what kind of sorcery was done with this loaf. In the original generations, there wasn't a popular involvement in kshufin. Maybe there was a little bit of kishuv, but it wasn't so widespread, and therefore you could pick up a pas that's lying in the ground. You don't have to worry about kshufin, about kishuv. But in later generations, apparently, and you get the impression that this is something that the girls like to do, today it's, do you have a recipe for me? So in those days, they like to dabble in kishuf. It was a very exciting and challenging kind of preoccupation. It's therefore we should let the loaves of bread lie in the ground, because we don't want to endanger ourselves with kishuf. Tana, we learned in a braisa, shleimim ma'avirim, psisim ein ma'avirim. The kishuf was done in later generations, classically, with a full loaf of bread. And therefore, we don't want to pick up a full loaf of bread. But if the bread has already been sliced, then they didn't do kishuf. So you're allowed to pick it up, and you're not allowed to just pass it on. Is it really true that the Bnei Yisrael did not lo ayu matilos kishuv on prusos? Is that really true? Vaksiv, the Navi, says in Yechezkel, v'tachaleno si el ami b'shale sarim u'bepsose lechem. The Navi is giving rebuke to Bnei Yisrael that there's an element here of Chil Hashem, v'tchalena osi. And where's the Chil Hashem? By using this power of kishuf that they put into siorim, which are barley, and psuse lechem, which are cut slices of bread. So we see clearly from this pasuk that they put their whammies even on sliced bread, not only on full loaves of bread. So how can you tell me that in the case of slices of bread we have no problem? So the Gemara answers, Hasam, there in that pasuk when it says psuse lechem, deshakli biagrayhu. It's not referring to kishuf with these psuse lechem itself, but rather the shakli agrayhu means they took these loaves of bread, or I should say these slices of bread, as payment for kishuf. And these were the Nevi'e Abal at the time, that they used to be paid up by for that kishuf. By instead of money, they gave them psisei lechem, they gave them slices of bread. Omer Avsheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, here we're on Samachayim and Aleph, Yochal Ani Liftar Es Kol HaOlam Kulo Min Adin, that when God at the future, at the end of time, will judge the world, I could exempt the entire world from din, from harsh justice. I have a taina that I can claim in front of the Kisei HaKavod, in front of the Bezin Shel Mala, the heavenly courts, to be mezakeh Klal Yisrael, even though they did all the avonos. And how? Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ad Achshav. Why? Because since the Churban, we've suffered so terribly. Shenemar, it says in Yeshayahu HaNavi, the consolation of the prophecy on Yerushalayim, Lachein Shimi Na Zos Aniya Ushchuras V'lo Miyayin. Meaning, listen up. The sorrows of the exile were so profound that it's like Klal Yisrael Ashikorim in the exile. They can't think clearly. And that argument will potter them up from any averus they did, because they're not mezidim, even if they, at the surface level, they seem to have been deliberate, but they only did it because they were shikorim, they were shogigim. It's called a shogig rather than a mezid. So this is the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And the Gemara here on Daf Samach Hey is now going to embark upon an analysis of this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So let's make a note of where we got up to here. We are on Daf Samach Hey and Aleph. And we got up to Mesve, which is the fourth line from the top on Samachay Omer Aleph.